In this episode of our Business and Justice series, Sib Subanda interviews Russell Curtis, Chief Executive of Invest Durban, about embracing your local city as your mission field. Russell talks about the challenges he had to overcome and the lessons he learned in actively working to build flourishing communities through business.
Welcome to Reframed. Join us as we explore the concept of redemptive business in our unique context on the African continent.
Hello and welcome to the Ziwani Podcast, which is a platform for business leaders to share insights and personal experience on what it means to engage redemptively in their work. This episode is part of our Business and Justice series, where we will be exploring how Christian business leaders are actively working towards a more just society through their businesses. Today we're talking about embracing the city as your mission field. And with me is Chief Executive at Invest Durban, Russell Curtis. Welcome, Russell.
Thanks very much, Sibs. Great to be here. And good day to all the listeners. It'll be wonderful speaking about embracing our cities.
And an exciting topic indeed. So now, Russell, I know you wear several hats in your day-to-day work. Please tell us about what you're involved in.
Yeah, definitely, Sibs. Happy to do that. But before I start, let me just say well done to yourselves in the Ziwani team and, you know, in some of your sister outfits like Nation Builder and many others supported through the Mervon Group. Really and truly, absolutely not only foundational stuff, but transformational stuff across the continent. And it's been my great privilege and pleasure, you know, to be in a nice relationship with you guys over the years. So really a big congratulations to you guys. In terms of the different hats that I wear, Sibs, vis-a-vis embracing the city as a mission field, I guess in a way it helps to have a bit of FOMO, you know, fear of missing out. But it's not FOMO in the sense of outright fear. It's FOMO OG, so fear of missing out on God, the OG part. I've enjoyed pushing myself into lots of different quadrants in partnership with God. So yes, I wear different hats in terms of roles in government, in business, and in Christian spheres of life. And I think as you introed, I'm the chief exec of a thing called Invest Durban, which is a public sector agency all around investment. And in the business sphere, I sit on a few boards of organizations, one of which, for example, is the Durban Chamber of Commerce, the largest metro chamber on the continent. And then in the Christian spheres of life, I've been on core church leadership and then on Christian NGOs like City Story and other things. So I enjoy playing in the three legs of the African cooking pot.
That's quite a lot on your plate, Russell. So you're involved in business, and government, and church. That's a fascinating intersection of vocations. To what degree was your professional journey guided by a love for the city, or did that love grow gradually as your career evolved?
Yeah, Sibs, I think it's both and. You know, my love for the city has in fact grown into a love of cities, plural, over the years. New York, London, Durban, Cape Town, Joburg, Sydney, Mumbai, Hong Kong, and beyond. And really, I think where it started for me, Sibs, is it started with a changed heart towards people. And really, it was motivated how God loved me and loves other people. And if I can take you on just a quick story, about 20 years ago, I had a prodigal son encounter upon my own return to Christ and return to the church. And it was such a moving prodigal son encounter that it precipitated a professional pivot, we can use those modern terms, into Invest Durban about 20 years ago, where we helped to build the nation as part of our function. So the love of embracing the city, yes, it has also grown over the years. It's progressed over the years. It's more about wanting to partner with the Holy Spirit as Jesus builds his church, and he's building that church in people, and he's building his church in government, he's building his church in business, he's building his church proper and NGOs. So it was a combination of a professional pivot in this prodigal son, and then God just growing it into a love of people and a love of cities around the world. I absolutely love big cities now with wild ambition.
I love that. But let me just ask you this question, Russell. Were you born in Durban? And here's why I asked that. You know, sometimes we love a city because that's where we were born, and we love it for personal reasons like nostalgia and family. We've got great memories. We drive past places and think, oh, yeah, when we were younger, I did this and that over there. But the reality is that we sometimes, and perhaps even often, find ourselves in cities where we had no previous connection. Maybe we didn't expect ourselves to be there. And perhaps we don't even like the city or enjoy being there. And we're really only there out of necessity. So talk to me about that. Firstly, were you born in Durban? And secondly, talk to us about people who are in cities that they perhaps haven't chosen or wouldn't have chosen for themselves.
So, Sibs, no, I wasn't born in Durban. And I actually only became a South African citizen in my 20s. I was born in Zambia. I was in Zimbabwe until about the age of 10 or 11. And then I was in the USA until just before my 21st birthday. Moved around in that space of time. So had 3 years in Hawaii, about a year in West Berlin. And then found my bride in here in Durban. And that's what caused me to settle here, married and happily so, 30 years on, 21-year-old son. And that's where I now find myself. So I consider myself a citizen of the world. You know, don't tell the global authorities, but I hold a South African passport as a South African citizen. I travel principally on that one because I do consider myself an African in every sense and definition of the word. But I've got the US passport as well. And, you know, I'm of British descent, so I've also got British passport. So I'm a citizen of the world formally, but African by heart. Now, to your second question around what if we find ourselves in cities where we either don't want to be, or we are not enjoying life, or we're wondering what on earth is going on. Well, you know, I guess that biblical story about Jonah and Nineveh comes to mind, isn't it? I think we need to get some eternal perspective and some Christocentric perspective and understand you are where you are placed at that point in time, not by accident. You find yourself where God allows you to find yourself at that point in time. And I'm not saying he doesn't want you to move. I'm just saying where you are, do what you're called to do and adopt the attitude that Jonah finally got to about Nineveh.
Yes.
Rather than having to go through the sea and the whale and all of that other stuff first.
Yeah, makes sense. Thanks for that, Russell. So let's drill down now into some of the nuts and bolts of how you're embracing the city as your mission field. You've thrown around names like Invest Durban, City Story. Let's talk about a bit. Can you share some stories of how your work has been a blessing to the city and perhaps what top three lessons you've learned along the way?
Yeah, absolutely. So Invest Durban, best way to understand that is we try to help bring the chairs of the public sector and private sector closer together all around building the city, building the nation. So that's investing in factories, in call centers, and in many other things. So through that, we get an opportunity to engage with Amakosi. So that's traditional tribal leadership, community leadership, with business leadership internationally and locally, with government leadership internationally and locally. And I'm also always on the hunt to bring in blood-washed saints into those processes. Right. So that is providing, you know, I can tell you just in the last 3 years alone, we brought in about $4 billion worth of investment, created 8,000 jobs. So it's a blessing to the city in a very practical, functional sense. Transitioning to other roles like the Durban Chamber of Commerce, you know, they have that saying, let's not waste a good crisis. It's not a secret that Durban has been through what I call a quad of crises. Number one, the hard lockdown of COVID. Number two, the July insurrection of 21, and then two floods. So we have not wasted those good crises. And the Durban Chamber over these last 3 or 4 years has been a blessing to the city by, again, bringing public sector closer, bringing community leadership and church leadership closer to understand we have a shared existence. We have a shared responsibility. We have shared resources. And none of us have got the answer individually or the solution individually. And it's helped us to get over ourselves. It's helped us to rely more on each other or even rely more on dramatically different people. And so it's building a bit more fraternity, and in a biblical sense, building a bit more unity, because the spot of that Durban Chamber leadership, including the CEO, myself and others, we're radical Christians. And so we lead with the Holy Spirit, we lead with prayer, we lead with Jesus. And you're seeing now organized business bodies now being a greater blessing to the city, even in the midst of some of those crises. So the Durban Chamber and other structures partnered with Christian NGOs principally to distribute resources into not only businesses that were hardest hit, but communities that were hardest hit, and churches and NGOs. So it's been that outworking through organized business structures a blessing to the city. And the last one I'll touch on is a more Christian structure, which we've mentioned before, City Story. City Story is really just a network of patriotic saints drawn from government, business, the church proper, and NGOs coming together to impact the city in more practical ways. How is that done? It's helpful to see a city through a lens of a framework. Some people might have heard of these things called the Seven Mountains, Lance Wallnau. The term that we've used over the years, it's much easier to just see a city is comprised of different spheres of life. And everyone is either existing in those one of those spheres of life. It could be education, it could be media, or you're feeling passionate and called in those areas. And so we've been trying to blow wind and galvanize people into these different spheres of life to impact the city in more practical ways. And we've plugged into lots of other things going around the country, around the world, like Movement Day. It started in the US, City Changes, Doxa in Pretoria, Global Day of Prayer, and more recently, a thing called Holy Heal Our Land Initiative, which was born out of Cape Town to help us here in KwaZulu-Natal. So these are some of the stories of how we are exerting ourselves in government, business, and the church proper. So I didn't touch on the lessons. Would you like me to mention those very quickly?
Yes, sure, Russell. Please go ahead.
See, there's lots of lessons said along the way. We never stop going to school. So the first one is aim for what I call platform neutrality. Platform neutrality is just my mumbo jumbo for meaning try to use neutral venues, try to use neutral language, try to use neutral people, try not to have an abundance of one organization's branding to the exclusion of someone else's or another organization's branding. So the more inclusive and neutral and open and welcoming one can be as you embrace the mission field in your city, the more people will step towards you, the more organizations will join you, the more people will feel recognized and included, the more there'll be shared value. The second lesson is about when you go into any of this, whether it's working in your neighborhood or whether it's working at national levels, understand there'll be 1,000 opportunities to get frustrated. There'll be hundreds of opportunities to be disappointed or hurt. You'll get scores of opportunities to be offended. So be sure going in that you ground yourself deeply. You anchor yourself deeply at the start, almost at a radical, passionate, emotional level, so that as these waves of frustration, disappointment, hurt, offense wash over your bow, you're not going to get thrown off. The third lesson is linked to that, and that is don't ever give up. Not ever. Don't ever give up. You can take a break for a short while, fine, but do not give up. There's a spiritual basis to it. There's a biblical basis to it. That scripture which says, do not grow weary in doing good, for at the appointed time, ... And so in never giving up, I can assure you, you'll eventually start to see those things you're hoping for. You'll eventually start to see the impact you're making. You'll eventually start to see new relationships organically breeding around you that have got nothing to do with you. And I know you asked for three lessons, but I'll end with a fourth one, and that is pray regularly in groups and also covered prayer covering for yourself as a team. I'll stop there on the lessons before we segue to challenges. It's
brilliant, Russell. I really like what you're saying. You know, two things come to mind. The first one is, for many of us as Christians, when we hear the word mission, we think of preaching or evangelism, right? And so it's fascinating to hear you talk about the kind of impact you're having in the city. You're not talking so much about prayer meetings or how many people were saved and so on. You're talking about jobs. You're talking about finding people work and generating revenue into the city and so on. So just talk to us about why, as a Christian, you consider that to be mission.
We are each called by God at a specific time in a specific place. And so whether you want to call it a mission, whether you want to call it a calling, whether you want to say one is anointed for something or not, as the case may be, we're all on a mission through life. We were all put on this earth for a purpose.
Yeah.
And so it's about embracing the journey of a mission with God and getting that sense of significance, getting that sense of worth in God, getting that sense of purpose. And as we go on these missions, so we breed relationships, but they're not without challenges.
Yes, indeed, because in those three spheres that you're involved in, church, business, government, it's no secret that ego and a desire for power and control play a big role. So what are some of the challenges you've encountered in this regard as you've lived out your love for the city through your work? And perhaps as you share those challenges, if you could just touch on some of the cultural complexities as well, because no doubt there's been quite a few.
Yeah, for sure. So I've hinted at it before, Sibs, and that is people will disappoint you. Absolutely. Got to understand that. People will disappoint you. And so it is very important to get a deeper technical understanding of what forgiveness is and what forgiveness isn't, and then try to put this into practice more. Absolutely essential, because people will disappoint you. Number two, a challenge around we in business, at government, even in church leadership, we need to balance this, what I'd call default setting for corporate structure, default setting for corporate power, default setting for corporate control. As you embrace the city and your mission field, got to understand, you're not going to be ordering anyone around. You're not going to be writing anyone's KPIs for them. You're not going to be performance managing anybody. And so we have to balance that default setting of corporate power and control with a much more, if I can use a political term or a political science term, federalism. You have to balance that center of power with a much higher degree of trust quotient and default to trusting other saints in the network and trusting the Holy Spirit to guide them. So my second challenge is around that balance of corporate power and control. And I've been in organizations, Christian ones, where we've defaulted too much to that corporate power and corporate control, and it ends up just centralizing decision-making, centralizing resources, and you're creating a small group on the inside and a large out-group on the outside.
Right.
And yet, you and the other three, you don't have the answers to all the world's problems. The third and last one is around the cultural complexities, Sibs. What I do, and what I encourage everyone to do, is exert yourself. Exert yourself to get out of your cultural comfort zone. Go over to that church where the majority of the people don't look like you or speak like you. Get out of your chair on Saturday lunchtime and go to that Mercy Ministry outreach with that NGO on the other side of town whose leadership and team look nothing like you and don't speak anything like you. So for me, it's about exerting yourself. And the reason why you should do this is I can tell you from first-hand personal experience, the rewards that come back at you are some of the sweetest you'll ever experience. The love and the blessings that come back to you from cross-cultural relationships and cross-cultural activities that you get back in return are huge.
Right.
You get such a sense of franchise and unity and love and partnership. It becomes addictive. So I understand it requires a bit of courage at first. I understand it requires exerting yourself at first. But once you get onto this thing, it ends up being a wonderful, wonderful journey. And my last comment around the challenges of cultural complexities is you also need to sometimes slow the bus down. You know, if you are starting something in a group that's dominated by your own culture, we can very quickly just rush ahead because we want to get stuff done. But if you want it to be sustainable and you want the whole village to go with you, sometimes related to that cultural complexity and the challenges, you have to intentionally slow down, meet more, and be sure everyone agrees with the direction and the pace and the aims and the objectives and the ultimate destination. So yeah, Sibs, there are challenges, but they are overcomable, if I can use that word.
Yeah. And I like that, Russell, because I mean, so often a lot of misunderstanding and what we call complexities is actually born out of a lack of appreciation of different cultures and the way things that are done. I think, for example, about the African culture. So in African culture, spending time and sharing lives and sharing stories is incredibly important. Whereas in a more Western worldview, relationships tend to be more transactional, right? So the quicker you can end a meeting, the better, you've been efficient and you can head off and do something else. Whereas in African culture, the point of being together is not to end the meeting, right? It's being together. And while we're together, we can talk through some of these issues. And unless you actually, as you're saying, incarnate yourself, immerse yourself into different cultures and appreciate some of those nuances, you're always bound to find yourselves in culturally complicated situations. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, 100%. And whether you want to say globalization is bringing cultures into much closer proximity with each other, whether you want to say immigration and emigration, or whether you just want to come down to Mzansi, South Africa, the Rainbow Nation, we need to learn to celebrate the beauty in the diversity and the strength in the diversity and the love in the diversity and the fun in the diversity. We need to go back and re-embrace our Rainbow Nation and overtly celebrate each other's cultures, the European culture, the Asian culture, the Indian culture, the African Black culture in all of its different tribes. Get around in there, roll around, and enjoy it wholeheartedly.
Yeah, very good. Let me just end with this question, Russell. So I run a small IT business, and I think many of our listeners are in a similar situation. So we work in business. We love Jesus, but we don't have a particular sense of calling to partner with government and the church in quite the same way that you have. So can you give me some thoughts on what embracing the city as our mission could look like in that context?
For sure. So I'm happy to do so. The first point I want to touch on is actually not my main point, but I just don't want to lose it. And that is, each business owner, do not see your business as your business and it's separate from church or separate from mission, and think that the only people in ministry or in mission are the church leaders or the NGO leaders.
Good.
Nothing could be further from the truth. You, in your business, owning your business, you are in ministry in your business. You are on a Christian mission in your business. And you can use the various arms of your business operations on a daily basis to be on mission, to be on ministry with your staff, your suppliers, your customers, etc. So please don't see a lack of Christian spirituality in your day-to-day commercial transactions as a business person. But zooming out to embracing the city as your mission fields more broadly, Sibs, I think it's important for people to start with the why. People have heard that Simon Sinek book and corporate structure, start with the why. Once you know the why, it's a bit easier to then flesh out from there. And for me, it's starting with a spiritual why. I was given a book by Dr. Timothy Keller from Redeemer Church in New York City, and I've had the opportunity to also meet him and be in his presence in a couple of different engagements. I was given his book called Generous Justice. I'd encourage all listeners to get Generous Justice to help you understand the why. Once you get that, and I can tell you, for me, it was a riveting book, absolutely eye-opening. I'd been a Christian for a long time, and I thought I knew quite a few things until I read that book and I realized, oh my word.
Yeah.
It seems to me, whether you want to say half the church or at least half of the Christian faith, and in particular Christian business people, really don't understand how close to God's heart generous justice is in embracing the city as your mission. is absolutely central to your sanctification once you are saved. So as you get the why, you'll then don't start by embracing the city out of a sense of duty alone. So do not start by saying, oh, it's my duty. I have to write a check to that orphanage. Oh, it's my duty. I better go and help out at that school. Don't start out of a sense of duty alone.
Right.
You will see over time it needs to come from a sense of beauty. And if we had more time, I'll explain that a little bit more. But I want to get onto the practical as to where people can start and how they can start.
Well, we'll have to get you back sometime to crack that open a bit. But please, do carry on.
Sure. So let's just jump straight to the practical. Form a little collective of like minds or join another collective of like minds and just get started on a shared passion.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if that's education. It doesn't matter if that's sport. It doesn't matter if that's feeding. It doesn't matter if that's in media. It doesn't matter if that's in any of the spheres of life. But form a little collective of like minds or join a little collective of like minds and get started on your shared passion. This is such an important point. That is a passion, a calling that God put inside each and every one of us. It's not just a vocation. Oh, I'm in media. Oh, I'm in marketing. Oh, I'm in finance. God put those passions and callings inside you. So form a little collective and get started on your shared passion for embracing the city together. Mm-hmm. My last point, though, Sibs, is do it from a radically servant-hearted perspective. What do I mean by radically servant-hearted perspective? Don't go in with a culture of entitlement. Don't go in with a sense of expectation. Don't go in with a patriarchal dominating spirit. Don't go in thinking you have all of the answers. Go in with a radically servant-hearted approach and exert yourself to help connect others, inform others, empower others, help others, finance others, connect others, include more people, be ridiculously servant-hearted, and then see how embracing your city as your mission field together with others dims the problems you have in life.
Yeah.
Gives you breakthroughs in areas of difficulties in your life. Opens up huge new opportunities in your commercial business space and business sphere, and watch your revenues grow and watch your productivity grow purely by doing what you might think is someone else's job.
Yeah, I like that. And just to underline something you've said there, Russell, you've used the words like together and us and community in various forms. Is there a way people can connect with you and what you're doing in Durban or around the country?
So, you know, I'm a great fan of starting in your local church, you know, and the reason I say that is not because I don't want people to reach out to the organizations I'm involved in, but because I'm desperate to see greater mobilization in the local church, by the local church, with the local church. So that's a great place to start, is with your own church leadership, either getting involved with what they are doing, and if they aren't doing anything, then just starting a conversation and starting prayer and prompting, what can we be doing? Beyond that, I think there's fantastic resources and opportunities and platforms in the various Mergon-supported outfits, whether it's with Zawani or Nation Builder or many others. There's various church initiatives that are combined church initiatives. So Movement Day is one that periodically hosts city leadership meetings on Zoom through the Movement Day platforms across Africa and across the world. You know, I think we need to some degree acknowledge that COVID, these last 2.5 years, have been exceptionally difficult for people to get involved, and we've become too insular. We've become too immobilized. We've become too used to just speaking over LCD screens. And so I think we need to ramp up united prayer meetings again in our different areas. And there are so many different organizations that are there. So you don't have to reinvent the wheel. Go across to your local Red Cross office and find out what's going on. There's endless opportunities, I think, for people to get involved, but not out of a sense of duty. do it from a heart of beauty and appreciation.
That's really profound, Russell. We're going to have to get you back, as I've already said. But for today, thanks so much for the chat. It's been a real eye-opener for me and I'm sure for our listeners as well.
Pleasure, Sibs. It's really been great catching up with you guys. And I wish the very best to all of the listeners on this podcast. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you are galvanized to embrace your cities as the mission field. That is why God put us on this earth, to partner with Jesus as he builds his church. And he's coming back to a powerful bride, a beautiful bride, and a unified bride, an informed bride, and a resourced bride. And I wish everyone all the best in that journey.
Well, amen. And thanks for that. And for our listeners, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this podcast. If you'd like to connect with other like-minded business leaders, you can join the community link on our website and also browse the site for further resources to help you in your journey. But for now, we'll catch you next time. Goodbye.
We would love to hear your thoughts on this series, so please remember to leave a comment in the rating section after listening to the episode.
Thank you for listening today. If you would like to hear more conversations on the topic of redemptive business in Africa, visit Ziwani's website at www.ziwani.com. That's ZIWANI.com.